Welcome to Season 2 of the Beyond the Start Button podcast. In this episode, we talk about Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Voltron, The Legendary Defender, Ruby, Volume 5, and much, much more. So sit back, strap in, and get ready to go Beyond the Start Button.
Nerd 527, also known as Joshua, and I'm here with my partner in crime, the Chewbacca to my Han Solo, Danny, the ultrasonic player.
Yo, what's happening, Arcaders? How's it going?
Welcome to Season 2 of the Beyond the Start Button podcast, the podcast where we go over comics, TV, video games, manga, anime, fandoms, all kinds of different things that we know you nerds care about and we care about too. So we want to cover them here on the podcast, and that's what we're going to be doing today. Now, before we get started, I do want to just really quickly go over why we've been away. We were only supposed to go away for 2 months because of, a lot of life change happening for both me and the ultrasonic player. And then, of course, a hurricane after that.
Yeah.
We kind of had to postpone our Season 2 premiere until now. So we're going to go ahead and start up Season 2 with a brand new season, a brand new format for the podcast, which I think and hope that you guys out there will enjoy, will listen to, and maybe even get involved with us and conversate with us and other words that will get you to listen. Yeah. So, as you can tell, we're both very excited to be back. And so our new format for this is we're just going to take what we did in our original show was the press start segment, where we just kind of talked about whatever we're passionate about for the month. And that's basically going to be the format for our podcast from here going on. So we're just going to go right into it. We're going to start up with what we want to talk about. We have a few subjects that we want to talk about. And since I have started off this podcast, I'm going to start off with Danny, the ultrasonic player. Take it away, Danny. What are you passionate about this month, sir?
Oh, well, definitely several things. To start off with, this is something we both actually are big on discussing, is Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. That's right. So basically, unless you've been living under a rock or hanging out with Ewoks for the past maybe 30-odd years or so.
Or want to avoid spoilers.
Yes, very much so. Yep, that as well. We now have the official trailer for this upcoming film. It actually just dropped just a few days ago. And it's the best way to describe the trailer is that it's not really something you could put in words, but I'm going to try. And the reason why I'm saying it this way is because it's one of those trailers that is done so well, specifically the way in terms of its editing, because it doesn't answer any questions that the fans have been wondering since we left off with Force Awakens. It's like, instead of answering any questions, we're actually left with more. Even more so than the teaser trailer we had in Star Wars Celebration, which already, like, raised a lot of question marks enough, but with this new one, it's just even more. And the funny thing is that it's one of those things to where you can easily look at any of the big scenes as being slightly a bit of a misdirection, specifically the end scene just of the trailer, like the very last scenes. And it's one of those things to where really, when you get right down to it, you don't know what to expect. And I think that's a very good move on Disney/Lucasfilm's part, because now, because of this trailer, now fans they have no choice but to go see it, which everyone was going to go see anyway, but there's a sense of anticipation. Like, there's no sense of, oh, I know what's going to go down. I mean, you kind of know maybe a few things. Like, for one thing, you know there's going to be a big all-out, there's going to be a big confrontation between Finn and Captain Phasma. That much we do know. But as for everything else, no one has even the slightest idea, and the only thing that fans can do is speculate, and that is a very good thing. Because that's going to keep the steam going, and it won't be until like the very, it won't be until episode 9, and specifically after people see episode 9, that we will actually have more of a bigger picture. But again, I'm enthusiastic. I was already enthusiastic about this upcoming film, and only more so now because of the of this recent trailer. How about you, Josh?
I totally agree. I really thought that this trailer was done very well. One of the things that a lot of people have been saying is that this trailer was really like full of spoilers. And honestly, to tell you the truth, I actually came out with more questions than answers.
Yep.
I want to know what's going on here.
Yeah.
I really, really thought that it showed off the movie without giving too much away.
Yep.
So although not everyone agrees with that, I really do believe that we're in for a treat, and I think that this is going to take Star Wars in a new direction. One of the biggest complaints with Episode 7 was that a lot of people thought it was just a rehash of A New Hope, which I can see where their complaint comes from. I did not feel that way, me personally. I believe that the movie did hit some familiar tones, just like a song kind of hits a familiar melody or something like that. Yeah. But it didn't, it wasn't the same exact movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel the same way too. I can easily see why fans would feel that Episode 7 is basically a carbon copy of A New Hope. But for me, I feel that that was probably, I mean, I personally don't think it's a carbon copy of A New Hope, but I feel that the purpose of the film and the reason why Force Awakens was done the way it was done was to give a sense of familiarity to fans. Because, you know, it technically, when you really think about it, it really has been 30-odd years since Return of the Jedi, if you don't count the old Expanded Universe books, which is now known as Legends. So I believe that they went that route so as to give fans a sense of familiarity before we go venture off into like completely new territory, which is what this film is going to do.
I agree with that.
Now, of course, now with this, there's also the sense that people feel that it's going to be following Empire Strikes Back, and I'm kind of 50-50 on that. I'm not really sure if you can say that it is. I mean, obviously, it is the second act of the three-act play. And for those who know the three-act structure, you know, the first act is the introduction, and the second one focuses more on character development and all that good jazz.
And it's always usually the darker of the three.
Exactly.
Which I feel, unless you talk about the prequel trilogy, where it got progressively darker, because that was the by design. Because the second one was the second trilogy was the redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So, I agree with you. I agree 100% all that you said.
Yeah.
I did not understand anything that was going on. I did not connect the dots. I am excited again to see Luke Skywalker on the big screen. I really, really am excited for Mark Hamill. I really want to see him, act on screen again. On the big screen.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him act again on the screen
in
Flash.
Oh, yeah.
He did an amazing job. Such a great job on the Flash. But I cannot wait to see him step into Luke Skywalker, the role that made his career.
Yeah.
And come back at it almost the same age as Sir Ian... Sir Alec Guinness did back in New Hope.
Yep.
But I really am excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
In this new trilogy and with these new characters, and now that we've got an introduction with Rey, with Finn, with Poe, with Kylo Ren.
Yeah. BB-8.
BB-8. We're going to be introduced to some new BB units, which I'm excited about. We are going to be introduced to Porgs, which I am excited about.
I know, it's like...
I love those Porgs, man.
Warning, cuteness overload. That's all I have to say, cuteness overload.
Crystal wolves, man, that's all I got to say, wolves.
Yeah, that was, I mean...
Not wolves, sorry, they're foxes. Crystal foxes, my bad. But yeah, crystal foxes, we're going to be seeing some new planets.
Yep.
And all that. So let's continue with Star Wars because that's what I have to talk about.
Yep.
So I want to really, really continue the Star Wars talk. Just recently I have read the new, Darth Vader miniseries that they did, mm-hmm. Which was fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's how Darth Vader got his lightsaber.
Yes.
And it is a really short and to the point.
Yeah.
It's very action-oriented comic.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of dialogue. But I think my favorite part of that whole thing is actually the last issue where we find out how a Sith Lord gets a red Kyber crystal.
Kyber crystal.
Yeah. How – what happens to make – a red lightsaber, and we get that answer. It's called bleeding.
Yeah.
And what you have to do is you have to first kill a Jedi. You have to take their lightsaber. Mm-hmm. You have to open the lightsaber up, get the crystal, and then you have to pour all your anger and all your hate, all the dark side of the Force into the Kyber crystal and basically force it to be corrupt, because Kyber crystals in this new canon are made of the light side of the Force. Okay? So Kyber crystals have to kind of be forced to turn bad, basically. In that moment, and this is spoilers for those of you who have not read it yet, so if you don't want to get spoilers, then don't listen to this next couple of seconds, but my favorite part of that comic has to be the part where the crystal shows Darth Vader turning early. It shows him actually destroying Emperor Palpatine and then going and finding Obi-Wan and asking forgiveness. Oh my gosh, that was so cool. And then him just turning away from that vision and saying, no, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm on my path and I'm staying with it. So it was a very interesting comic, and then I read the new story arc that we're going into, which is going to introduce us to the Inquisitors and how that works out, because if you've watched the Star Wars Rebels, you know who Inquisitors are.
Yeah.
And we've met a few of them. Now we get to actually meet more, and we got to figure out exactly who these people are and what they're doing, and so we get to figure a little bit more about that. So I can't wait for this new saga to begin. I'm also reading the Mace Windu comic, which is all right. It's not my favorite, but it's all right. I'm also reading the main Star Wars comic, which is going to start up next month, I believe, with a new story arc. And this story arc, Luke Skywalker is going to go to Jeddah. And we get to see what happened after what happened in the events of Rogue One. And then after that story arc, they are going to have a story arc where they're going to one of the new planets in The Last Jedi, which was Krait, I believe it's called.
Wow. So with this, when Luke goes to Jedi, this is obviously post return, right after the Battle of Endor, post Return of the Jedi.
No. This is, as far as I know, this is after A New Hope. So this is in between.
A lot of
the comics that have been doing the main series.
Yeah.
And the reason I know this happens between A New Hope and Empire is because he has his father's lightsaber. So, So yeah, this happens. Not long after the events of Rogue One.
Okay.
So we get to see, we're actually going to get to see what happened to Jeddah afterwards.
Yeah, because, because spoilers for everybody who didn't see Rogue One, let's just say the place got, it got wrecked up pretty good.
Mm-hmm. We get to see that. So I'm very excited about that. I'm also reading the Captain Phasma, a miniseries that they're doing, which is really kind of cool. We get to see what happened, how Captain Phasma escaped the Starkiller base.
Yeah, because that thing blew up sky high. So
so far the comic is really good. Artwork's really amazing. I'm really enjoying it. I'm also reading Star Wars Adventures, which is more of a kiddie comic published by IDW. It was really interesting comic. It's very kid-oriented, so if you're looking for story meat,
We're not really going to have that.
You're not going to have it, but it's a fun comic, so, you know, my only complaint is some of the artwork is a little bit, Like, I get it, that's a kid's book, but can we up the artwork a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, I know what
you
mean.
So it's a little bit better. So I do like the comic, though. It was a good story. I read the first two issues. The main story started with Rey. We got to see a little bit more with Rey on Jakku. I really did enjoy that one. I've also been reading since our break. Because of my new location and where I work, I have been trying to catch up with the Star Wars universe through the books as well. I am currently on book number 12. I say read, but I'm not actually reading. I'm actually listening to it, so I'm doing audiobooks.
That's okay. Reading is reading.
So I have an app called Overdrive, and it connects to your public library account, and you get to check out audiobooks for free.
Oh, that's cool.
So I've been reading a lot of Star Wars books to kind of get back into the universe and see what I've missed. I've read the Aftermath trilogy, which is really good. I highly suggest that book for those of you who want to really dive a little bit more into Star Wars and want to know what happened. If there's four books I would recommend for those of you who'd like to know what happened between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And one comic. The first one is the comic, which is Shattered Empire.
Yes.
Read that. It's really quick. You get to meet Poe Dameron's parents.
Yep.
That's really good. And then the Aftermath trilogy, which is really, really interesting. It's a very, at the beginning, it's kind of weird because what they do is the author, writes the book so that you have a main story and then you have like these little asides that show you what happened to characters and things.
I know what you're talking about.
So it's a little weird at first when you read that first book because it's kind of confusing at times because you're like, okay, well, I was in the middle of the story and then all of a sudden I'm going to this. So it's kind of a weird way to put it, but it's interesting in the same time because you get to find out where things have happened and what's going on, and find out how the Empire fell. That's kind of the best part about this, is you get to find out what happened to the Empire and how did the First Order start. I love that the book shows you how it through this trilogy it shows you how this became, but it doesn't tell you everything. So there's a lot of information that we still don't know. The fourth book is Bloodlines, and this takes place about six years before Force Awakens.
Is it six? I thought it was five.
I believe it was six.
Hmm.
If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but I believe it was about 6 years. And this follows Leia, and you get to find out exactly what happened right before Force Awakens. You get to find out what happened to Leia. There is a very, very big moment in galactic history that happens in that moment that really kind of charts the destiny toward Force Awakens. And I do like that a lot. I'm also currently reading... I'm actually reading, not listening to.
Yeah.
One of the books I like to read, one of the authors I like, she did Bloodlines. She did one of my favorite Star Wars books, which is Lost Stars, which is probably the best Star Wars book I've ever read. It's such a good, good book. And I really wish they would do more with it. I really wish they would bring it out more. That's another book I highly recommend, because that gives you another perspective and actually goes through the entire original trilogy. It's kind of like this, like, side story, along with the original trilogy. That's really quite interesting. I can't wait for that. And I believe the author's name is Claudia Gray. She is the one who, wrote these amazing books. I really like her. I think she's a really amazing author, especially when it comes to Leia. She really knows how to write Leia, and also not only just give her, you know, make her, you know, Leia that we know and love, but also kind of add a little bit of Carrie Fisher into her character.
Of course,
and,
yeah.
Because I know that Carrie Fisher and Princess Leia are two completely separate people.
Yeah.
You know, even though Carrie did play her.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice to have a little bit of that attitude.
Yeah, and even Carrie herself even said that she did say something around the lines of, I believe it was an interview for Force Awakens,
mm-hmm.
where Carrie had said that there is a bit of the character in me, and there's a bit of me in that character.
Right.
So it's not completely doing a complete 180 from her own personality.
Right.
So.
Right. So that's why I really like this author, but I highly suggest Lost Stars. It was also written by her, and I'm currently reading Leia, Princess of Alderaan, which is a book that takes place in her early teen years, and apparently is going to have some places and characters that are in The Last Jedi. So I'm very excited to kind of read that. I'm kind of reading it very slowly when I get a chance, but I'm also listening to Thrawn by Timothy Zahn.
Yep, the creator of Thrawn himself.
Which they have just recently announced that they are doing a sequel to that book. So I'm actually quite excited about that as well. So far I really, really am enjoying Thrawn. It's almost like a Sherlock Holmes type book.
Hmm.
It's kind of interesting to see Thrawn's process,
his thought process,
and it's quite interesting.
Hmm.
And I'm really enjoying that book so far. One more thing before we go off of Star Wars, let's talk about one of my favorite YouTube channels right now that I'm listening to, and you're getting a free advertisement from me. Star Wars Explained is a YouTube channel that I've been watching a lot lately. If you want to get caught up on Star Wars, but you don't want to you don't really have a lot of time to read the books and read the comics and play the video games and all that other stuff, this is a great way to do it. This guy does a great job of going over your questions about canon and doing some explanational videos telling you, hey, this is, you know, this thing and this connects to that. And one of my favorite things is he actually reads some of the books, and then he has a video that explains like 50 Easter eggs that you can find inside the book that point to specific things. Because one of the things I love about the Star Wars books thus far is that events that happen in other books resonate in other books. So even if you have two separate authors, sometimes you'll read about one thing in one book, and then you'll actually read about it in another book. So the story group, Lucasfilm story group, is doing a really good job of connecting these all together.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they're doing that, because at least it gives a sense of cohesion in a lot of the upcoming books. I mean, granted, I mean, I don't, because actually before we segue, you know, I definitely want to give my two cents on a lot of those books that you mentioned. But before we do that, that's what I like about what the story group's doing, is that they're making sure that the continuity is a lot tighter this time around, as opposed to...
They can't be perfect. But...
No. But so far their batting average is pretty good. So, which is the important thing. And so now, granted, I mean, I have to confess, the only new EU books that I have so far are Star Wars A New Dawn, which, again, basically covers a little bit of Caleb Doom / Kanan Jarrus's, it's just before Star Wars Rebels happens. So he's already an adult, but it shows kind of like what he's going through and him still not exactly too keen on taking up a cause against the Empire. But of course, a certain Twi'lek and certain other circumstances kind of help steer him in that direction.
Oh, and if I could make an aside, if you're reading that book right now,
yes,
there's a character in that book. Her name is Rey Sloane. She's an Imperial officer. She is a big part of the Aftermath trilogy.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Because again, I mean, I know that Aftermath really does cover a lot more gaps, or it answers some more questions about what happens. the big thing that's, well, the two big things that stood out to me were with what happened to Naboo, as well as a certain character that apparently some people, even to this day, still do, some people are still 50-50 on. We find out what happens to him. I mean, he's still alive, you know, but, yeah, he's not really, he's even more disliked than he was in when we first meet him in episode one. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's just, the thing is, and I've seen a lot of fans say this too, it wasn't his fault. I mean, Palpatine is a master manipulator. He really was that good. I mean, which granted, I mean, and that's the thing about being part of the, about being the audience is that you get to see what's going on and you almost just want to yell at the characters going, no, this is what's going on. And it's one of those hypothetical questions that, like, how would the galactic populace react if they really knew what kind of person Palpatine was, mm-hmm. and how easily he was able to manipulate just about everybody. Now, granted, that kind of revelation probably would not go well with a lot of people, because some would feel like, you know, what does that say about us if we let ourselves get tricked that easily? But hey, Palpatine's a Sith Lord, and that's how they operate. But yeah, and also, going back to what you said about the Darth Vader comics, again, I'll try to make this quick, but I do like that new wrinkle about how the kyber crystals become red. Because for the longest time, my understanding of it was that Sith Lords had gotten a hold of synthetic crystals, and that's how they made their lightsabers.
That's the Legends canon.
Yeah, the Legends canon. But I do like the idea of the fact that the crystals have no color, because that's the whole thing. To where the Jedi or a Force user in general has to put their own Force stamp, if you will, into the crystal for it to become the color that it is. And the idea of the fact that a Sith Lord has to basically force the crystal to kind of become, or bleed, if you will, it definitely adds a new wrinkle. Granted, I know there's definitely some fans out there and certain podcasters out there who don't particularly like that idea, but personally, I don't mind it at all. And the idea of Vader kind of having this flashback of him actually seeking redemption much more early on and then ultimately turning his back on it, I actually like that, and it actually makes a lot more sense with the character, especially where he is at that point. Because as of this moment, you have essentially, for lack of a better word, a broken man in every conceivable way. Because really, he doesn't have anything left. He has nothing left. He has essentially lost everything, both from his own actions as well as Palpatine's manipulations. So to him, it really just, it all goes back to, he doesn't have anything left. Palpatine is all he has left. Now, granted, Vader hates that, because it goes back to, you know, I trusted this guy and look where it really got me. But unfortunately, it's the only thing that he's got left. So it makes sense for him to kind of reject that vision, because obviously he doesn't know about Luke. You know, but when he does, then you go back and watch Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back, and then with that, and then it's like, oh, okay, so you realize that this is not really an evil guy, it's just a guy who, despite everything he's done, he's essentially trapped, and he's got no way out, until Luke, you know, comes along and ultimately helps redeem him. But I'm glad that these new books are really that interesting, because I, again, the only books I have are Star Wars A New Dawn and the Ahsoka novel, which I still have yet to read.
It's a good book. It really is. The Ahsoka novel is really good. I listened to the audiobook, which was read by Ashley Eckstein, which was really cool.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy that. Cool. Hearing her do Ahsoka was really cool.
Yeah.
That book's really good. I highly suggest that one too. I think the only book I've been disappointed about so far was the book Lords of the Sith.
I heard about that.
Kind of dry, a little bit, for me anyways. But otherwise, you know, no book has been like too terribly, you know, bad. So I do enjoy all the Star Wars goodness that we've had. Now, let's go from one space odyssey to another. Danny, take it away.
All right, so we've traveled to a galaxy far, far away. Now we're about to go to some place from days of long ago. From the far reaches of the universe, we have a new legend. Voltron. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm not talking about Voltron 84. No, no, no. We're talking about the Netflix series Voltron Legendary Defender. That's right. So, as those of you may already know, season 4 has just dropped. And but I haven't gotten around to completing that season yet because I just got finished watching all of season 3. And my gosh, just the level of writing, and again, if I haven't said this enough already, and I'll say it again now, the level of storytelling that is done in this show, and again, that's the beauty of shows on Netflix in general, is that you have a lot more flexibility than you would if it was on a network TV show. Because with this, I mean, again, the storytelling is so airtight that not only that the characters are given more depth. And what's great about season 3 is that the biggest, baddest villain gets character depth. That's right. You know, Zarkon of all people. It's like we almost have a little, I mean, not to give away too much information, not to give away spoilers, but again, if you haven't seen season 3, you should. But essentially, they pretty much pull a George Lucas, and pretty much take the biggest, baddest villain and make him a bit of a sympathetic character. Which we don't really get until the very end of season 3. But you get to realize that, granted, there were definitely the character definitely had some ambitions that kind of tended to go over the line. But as time went by, and again, and you'll see this in the final episode of season 3, you find out that it's not completely on his own volition. That there's things that happen to him that ultimately corrupt him to the point to where he ends up becoming, you know, the big bad dictator that we all know him as of right now. But it definitely offers a lot more wrinkles to him. And we also get the return of a character that we thought bit the big one at the end of season 2. Or so we're led to believe, because we're still not completely sure about what happened to that character. So, but what's great about it is that even though the episodes are much smaller, because it's only 7 episodes for season 3, but it's a good, it segues great into season 4, which I am actually currently watching right now, and I'm, as of this recording, I'm currently on the second to last episode. So I haven't completely finished watching all of season 4 yet, but let me tell you, the emotional level of these episodes is just, it just goes to such a way to where you really get emotional. You start to shed tears. And I know I did, specifically in episode 2 of season 4, where Pidge, the Green Paladin, finally gets to complete part of her mission. But again, I'm not going to say what it is. You have to pretty much watch it and see for yourself. But the bottom line is that this is, I mean, again, with each season that comes by, the action kicks up and the emotional and character depths just kicks up even more. So again, if you don't have Netflix, don't worry, because I know that they will eventually put the seasons on iTunes at the very least. And I know because seasons 1 and 2 are available in that way. And that's how I've been able to pretty much binge watch season 1 and 2. But again, it's definitely something I'm looking forward to with season 3 and 4. And I'm hoping we get to see more seasons and just see how it all comes together. And again, unfortunately, we still don't know where Earth figures into all of this as of yet. But hopefully that question will be answered soon. And yeah, that's pretty much me so far.
All right, so from your fandom to my fandom, it's time for me to talk about Ruby! Woo-hoo! Yay! Oh, so let's talk a little about Ruby. I, as you know, I am in love with the show from Rooster Teeth. Mm. I really, really am a huge fan of the show, and not only because of the characters and the story, but because of the inspiration that it has given me and forwarding me as well. Just recently, I had the opportunity to go to the Fathom events for the season or volume 5 premiere of Ruby, and it was really, really great. We got to see the first episode of volume 5 before everyone else does, which was very, very cool.
I won't give anything away here, mainly because it still has a few more days before it comes out. I will say also, we got to for those of you, I guess, who haven't completely caught up with Volume 4, you got to see the last three episodes of Volume 4, and then we got a little bit of commentary with why they did what they did with these last few seasons. The emotions have been running high. Season 3 was kind of the, if you will, the Empire Strikes Back of Ruby. And Volume 4 was about, how do you come back from that? You know, you've been knocked down and kicked around. And now how do you come, you've lost a lot of things. And now how do you come back from that? And that was what Volume 4 was all about. And the thing that I thought was quite interesting is Volume 4 is kind of like a reintroduction to our characters. All of our main characters. So Team Ruby is now split up. There are now at different parts of their journeys now. And I know that the Ruby fandom is waiting for them to get back together again. Because inevitably it's going to happen.
Yes.
But for right now, there's just a journey that needs to be taken. And, the stakes are a little bit higher this time. There wasn't as much, character development for our main characters this time around, except for a few exceptions. But they went over to some of our secondary main characters and gave them the spotlight for a season. And I thought that was really kind of neat because now we get to see why some of the characters are who they are. And we get to see a character arc through that series. And I really did enjoy it. And seeing it on the big screen was even better.
Wow.
I remember, I think it was one of our earlier episodes, I talked about one episode where they had ended the episode where you saw this monster. It was very much like a lot of monster movies where you just saw bits and pieces of the monster, but you didn't see the monster.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's this moment where, oh, crap, this monster is coming. And then they end the episode with a blank screen and all you hear is this monster's wail. And I literally jumped out of my skin when I heard it. And then in the theater, hearing that again.
Wow.
With a theater sound system.
Yeah, I probably would just be like, okay, can we leave now, please? But wow, I'm glad, and that's an old school movie technique,
right.
Going back to Hitchcock, you know,
right.
I love that. If you do it right, it works, because the whole idea of, you know, you think you see it, but you can't, and it's
right.
it's what
and
you
don't see. And you don't actually see the monster till the very end, which is not necessarily a spoiler. You don't see the monster till the very, very end, and
yep.
It's quite interesting what happens and why that monster is there and, the emotional journey that you have your characters go through. We get to find out more about, some other characters. My only complaint is the main character, Ruby. She doesn't really grow very much in the show. She's pretty much the same person, but, even though, she still has a little bit of a character arc.
Mm.
And, you know, there are some things that they did set up that I'm hoping they pay off in the fifth season. And then, of course, the fifth season started off really, really well. And actually, they came out of the gate running. Let me tell you, I thought they were going to wait for a few things. But they came out of the gate shooting. And, which was really, really cool. But at the same time, they started this episode a little bit more on the funny side. There was a little bit more jokes this time around, which is great because, the last season was kind of a downer for most of it. It's kind of because it has to be. So,
right.
There wasn't so many jokes. There wasn't so many, you know, quotable lines in the fourth series,
right?
That have been before. But this time it's a lot better, a lot funnier this time around. The voice acting is top notch. The animation has jumped up another notch. You know, season, volume four was, I keep saying season, so I apologize for that. They're volumes. So volume four was a jump up in animation, technology. And they did a great job and it looked wonderful, but they have really hit it out of the park again with this next volume. It's beautiful. It reminds me a lot of Avatar, actually.
Wow.
This time around.
Avatar, the Last Airbender?
Last Airbender, yeah. Oh, wow. The good Avatar.
Yes, yes. The TV series.
The, Avatar, the Last Airbender. It does remind me a lot of that. So I'm very excited to see where this volume goes. I'm excited because we get to see some new characters. We were introduced to a few characters last season. We are now maybe having some character interactions with those new characters. So that's going to be awesome. And of course, they just ended Ruby Chibi, which is the chibi version of Ruby, which is always a lot of fun. I really love Ruby Chibi because, you know, originally Ruby Chibi was just, hey, let's make fun of this part of the series or this part of the show or this thing that fandom likes or, this fourth wall. But now they're kind of just doing their own thing. It's kind of just their own little jokes and their own little asides. And, you know, they are making references to other Rooster Teeth things and stuff like that. But they're still kind of, they're introducing new characters. This season of Ruby Chibi, we got to see other characters like Penny and Yang and Ruby's father Tai, who is the quintessential father, you know, the dad always kind of trying to be cool.
trying to be hip.
Yeah, he's trying to be cool and hip and whatnot. Yeah. So I did like that. You know, they take these characters and they kind of just, you know, spin them around a little bit, make it funny and make it, you know, and kind of give it, kind of bring it to its own self. So it's its own kind of separate universe that I do adore.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say for Ruby. I can't wait for more of volume five. I'm sure you'll probably be hearing it more as we are talking about on this podcast. So, let's move on from that to your next subject, Mr. Danny. Go ahead.
Okay, so the next thing that I'd like to talk about is E3, and I know that this is obviously several months past, but I just want to say that from what I was able to kind of glimpse, and I still have yet to sit down and watch the whole thing in its entirety and really breathe in and the whole E3 experience, Nintendo style, but from what I was able to see, it's like so many projects coming up, so many both the from the mainstream developers as well as the indies or nindies as they've come to be known. It's just an amazing time if you have a Switch. I know that not everyone has one still and they're still kind of scarce, but for those of you who have been able to get a Switch, you're going to be in for a big treat. And I know because I have mine. So it's a pretty amazing time to be a Switch owner. But the 3DS isn't completely left out. There's definitely a lot of cool titles. I know because I actually am playing a few. Of course, as of this recording, Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga has been re-released and remastered, along with a little segment called Bowser's Minions. And while I haven't gotten to that section yet, but still, let's go back to Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga. I remember playing that at the back when they had a Game Boy Advance SP station at my local Walmart. And at first I was like, "Huh, this is interesting. It's like a Mario RPG type thing." Not to be confused with the classic Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, but this one was different. And it definitely had a bit of a turn-based combat system, but it was done in such a way to where it's so much fun and it hooks you in. And granted, I have the original version downloaded on my Wii U, but what they're doing here on the 3DS version, it's amazing. And it's a lot of fun and one that I highly recommend. Of course, granted, You can buy the original version, you know, on the Wii U, virtual console style. So you have that. But with this one, it's a lot of fun and definitely a recommend. One other thing as well. Let me see.
While you're coming up with that, I do also want to add in, because E3 came and went, we also had D23,
yes,
which came and went. And of course, the upcoming Star Wars Battlefront 2,
yes,
which I'm very, very excited about. Going off of what I talked about earlier, I've been reading Star Wars books. I actually read the book for Star Wars Battlefront 2, which leads, yes, into the video game.
Yes.
I'm really quite excited to see what happens in the story mode this time around, because Battlefront 2 is going to have a story mode!
Yes.
So I'm very, very excited about this. They said that they've taken some cues from different games like Uncharted and games like that. So I'm very quite excited to see this game. And this is actually going to whet my appetite for seeing what the Star Wars universe looked like after Return of the Jedi. Because it's one thing to see it in comics and read it in a book, but it's another completely different thing to see it on a screen in front of you, either playing it in a video game or watching it on a TV movie,
yeah,
or whatnot. So, actually, you know what? Let's lead it to a discussion question. I know this wasn't prompt to, but I want to lead to a discussion question, okay?
Yeah.
So, we both know that DC does these direct-to-DVD movies.
Yes.
Okay. They are really popular, actually.
They do
the direct to DVD animated movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What if Disney decided to do this for Star Wars?
What
if they decided to do this with, like, the books, the comics, make adaptations? Because we all know that Dave Filoni is working on a new Star Wars animated project. We don't know what it is. You know, currently he's also working on Forces of Destiny, which is a great series. But you know, that's definitely geared towards the younger sect.
Yeah.
But we know that there is some animation coming along the way. But what do you think if Dave Filoni got together with his team and they decided to do, like, direct to DVD or maybe direct to Netflix or something like that? Movies like adaptations of books, of comics, and things like that. What would you think if they did that?
Well, personally, I wouldn't mind it. I really wouldn't mind it at all. And as long as Dave Filoni's at the helm, well, you know you're going to get your quality. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much a given. And I wouldn't really mind it, because it would also help fill in some gaps that perhaps maybe books or even regular TV shows couldn't do. Like certain things, like, okay, you have this story and it's great, it's Star Wars, it fits the aesthetic, everything, but you can't put it on Disney XD. Okay, what if you could basically do that in a directed to DVD way, or even put it on Netflix, you know? Because the beauty of Netflix is, like I said, you have a lot more flexibility there and you don't have to worry about going through too much S&P or standards and practices to put it out there.
Well, you also could do, even, you don't even have to stick to animation. You could do live action as well.
Yeah, that's true. And it's interesting you mentioned that, because I know that, because I had heard, and again, because I listened to Rebel Force Radio, which is a Star Wars podcast, again, free plug, but where it turns out that George actually had been kicking that idea around. Him and his producing partner, Rick McCollum, I believe his name was, there had been talks of doing something like that, and it would take place between 3 and 4, but so far nothing came of that. And I actually, again, if you do it right, it could work, because there's definitely a lot of questions that still need some answering, because again, we do get some closures about some of the characters, but not all of them. And I really think it would be a good idea if they did that, because again, Star Wars is big now. I mean, it's always been big, but because of Force Awakens, and because of, even before that, you know, the Clone Wars animated series, Star Wars has once again come back into the public consciousness. And to not you know, cover other stories, or at least give closures to certain characters that were kind of, you know, maybe talked about but never really fully explored, you know, it would definitely be a bit of a crime to not take advantage of the opportunity, especially with the nature of binge watching nowadays and streaming and what have you. You got yourself a golden opportunity. I mean, it would just be a matter of, you know, just, you know, seizing it and going for it. But of course, provided that you have the right people doing it, the sky's the limit, and the fans will be there. I mean, as long as you have, you know, good stuff, you know, coming down the pike, the fans will go for it.
Excellent. Well, I do agree. I think that, you know, it would be a good idea. I don't think Disney will do it, though. I think they're kind of out of the direct-to-DVD market. To tell you the truth, I really, you know, I'm kind of mad a little bit at Disney because there was a lot of shows and stuff that they could have put on DVD season-wise, and they don't, especially their cartoons. The only ones that they do is Star Wars Rebels because, you know, obviously that's going to make them lots of money.
Yes.
Because people are still going to buy them. And I know that we are in this kind of transitional period of, you know, people buying DVDs to getting, you know, streaming and Netflix and whatnot. But mm-hmm. I think that would be a viable idea as opposed to having a movie every single year, you know, maybe doing a smaller, you know, direct-to-DVD animated movie or a smaller direct-to-DVD, you know, live-action movie.
Yeah.
You know, something that – and then – you know, the good thing about that is you don't have to stick to a specific timeline. You can kind of jump the timelines.
Yes.
And do all that. So I think that would be a great idea. So.
Yeah. And not only that, but there's something that DVDs handle very well that you can't really do on a Netflix or Hulu. And that is special features.
Right.
Now, things like, and not just featurettes, but, you know, theatrical trailers, TV spots, director and, you know, cast commentaries.
Right.
You can't really do that on with Hulu Plus or Netflix. Right. You just can't. I mean, granted, you could probably get away with it if directors and producers were to do like a live commentary, because I think James Gunn had done that with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
He had done a live commentary with fans, which was great. But still, there is something about having that kind of feature on an actual, you know, hard copy that you can't replicate that on something like Netflix or Hulu. You just can't do that. Because then you'd have to have a completely separate thing right there. Mm-hmm. And I seriously doubt that, you know, the producing powers that be would want to make it more complicated mm-hmm. for themselves or for their audience. So, but I really feel that there is still a market for DVDs, because obviously if it weren't the case, then DVDs would have gone the way of the dinosaurs a while back. And for me, in my case, you know, I mean, granted, I've been slow in catching up, but I am transitioning to getting Blu-ray. Now, granted, for various reasons, I am not able to really watch the few Blu-ray DVD movies I have because, you know, my room is unfortunately unavailable for me to use at the moment. But, you know, again, there is something about looking at a featurette or watching a movie with director commentary that just adds to the experience. And you can't really do that on a Netflix or Hulu. So, I mean, and I really feel that, again, Disney might be, you know, selling themselves short if they don't take advantage of a direct-to-DVD format. Because not only that, but, you know, there's always this, I think another reason is that there are certain Star Wars stories, particularly, like, for example, there was that now Legends novel which dealt with Imperial Stormtroopers being essentially zombies, you know, at one point. Now, granted, obviously the nature of the whole format being in a book made it possible. But, I don't know, I guess maybe Disney/Lucasfilm doesn't really want to cross that line, because really Star Wars is geared specifically for everybody, kids especially.
Right.
And to go almost to the point, to straddle the PG-13 line to the point to where you go into a rated R thing, is still a very iffy thing for them, I guess. Even though, really, when you think about it, considering what ends up happening in Star Wars Episode 3, The Revenge of the Sith, it's interesting that Episode 3 got a PG-13 rating, because when you really consider what goes down in Episode 3, it's pretty much borderline rated R.
Right.
I mean, after all, we're dealing with, you know, head chopping, limb severing, you know, and especially the fact that, you know, our protagonist gets turned into a villain. But more than that, he pretty much ends up suffering fourth degree burns. Mm-hmm. That's not something you can really water down mm-hmm. when you get right down to it. So, but, I mean, again, we'll see what happens. But I really feel that Star Wars can be explored in various ways and in many different formats. As long as it stays true to the aesthetic of what Star Wars is, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah, and I agree. So let's move on to your next subject, which is you wanted to talk really quickly about some legendary voice actors and actresses that passed away recently.
Yes, of course. With the first one, for those of you who already know, for everyone who loves voice actors and voice acting and animation in general, June Foray, you know, legendary voice actress, you know, of all, has passed away. And of course, for those of us who were kids, growing up watching reruns of Rocky and Bullwinkle and Smurfs and countless other, you know, things.
DuckTales.
Yep, exactly. I mean, June Foray pretty much voiced a character in some way, shape, or form. And of course, you know, from Rocket J Squirrel, aka Rocky, to Natasha, you know, to Magica Dispel from DuckTales, to even, Mulan's grandmother in, in Mulan. Yeah. And of course Grandma from Looney Tunes. Nanny from Looney Tunes. I mean just, and again, and I'm glad that she was able to be on that documentary. I know that voice. And especially looking at that movie again now is bittersweet, but she definitely voiced a lot of characters that most of us grew up watching. I mean, granted, it was in reruns at that point, but still, I mean, seeing all of those, and especially DuckTales and whatnot, it's really bittersweet, you know, to see her gone. But still, you know, the fact that she crafted out such a big career, and even almost close to her passing, she was still working. You know, that really says a lot. You know, it's almost kind of like with another voice actor, George, or the guy who voiced George Jetson, and it was the actor who voiced him, pretty much voiced him right up until he passed away.
Wow.
So that was really something. So, you know, rest in peace, June Foray, and one thing's for sure, all the characters you voiced, and, you know, and just you in general, you won't be forgotten. Mm-hmm. And now, the second one, this is for all of you Nintendo fans out there, Harvey Atkin, the voice of King Koopa, had also passed away, and, now, he basically was the one actor who pretty much voiced Koopa for pretty much all the interpretations of the Super Mario Brothers franchise during the late 80s, going into the early 90s as King Koopa. And in fact, even now to this day, whenever I see King Koopa talk, or, you know, even though it's in speech balloons, I always think of this guy because the voice just fits the character because you have this guy who's pompous, he's villainous, and apparently he doesn't seem to apologize for it. But at the same token, he also seems to have more of an anti-hero vibe about him, as much as he's a villain at times. And he's also got a bit of a sense of humor. Granted, it's a twisted, you know, villainous type of humor, but it's like you hate him, but you love him. And that was something that he really brought to that role. And it turns out he had done many other different voiceover roles as well, but King Bowser Koopa is his most well-known, especially to all of us who are Nintendo fans. So, Harvey, thank you so much for voicing a great character. And again, you know, you'll at least now you're with Captain Lou Albano and Danny Wells, who, you know, Mario and Luigi, you know, so at least you get to, you know, plan Koopa capers against them as well. So thank you so much.
All right, so we're going to wrap up this segment of the podcast, this episode of the podcast. So we want to thank you guys so much for listening. We apologize again for being gone for so long. So we're going to try to get these out every month again if we can. But we do want to leave you with one question, okay? We want to see if you guys can interact with us. So feel free to interact with us on this website, thearcadearchives.com. On Twitter, you can find us, and we'll tell you where to find that here in just a minute. But the question is, what games are you ready to play for this holiday season? So our next episode will be in November sometime. And by that time, everyone's going to get ready for Black Friday and then, you know, getting ready to buy those holiday gifts. And we know as gamers that the holiday season is a big season for video games. And we're looking forward to games like Battlefront 2,
Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, Mario Odyssey. We're very excited about these games, and I think next podcast we are going to talk about what games we're excited about, what games we want to play, and all that. So feel free to tune in next time. Feel free to leave your comments wherever you find us. So once again, you can contact us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can find us on the Arcade Archives Network, because that's where we're a part of, thearcadearchives.com, where you can find us there. You can also find us on Instagram at the Arcade Archives Network. So feel free to, we'll probably be putting up a logo for this podcast. So feel free to, answer the questions on the bottom there and let us know. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/arcade1981. Now you can find us personally on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at ubernerd527. That's UBERNERD 527 on Instagram and on Twitter. And you can also, you can find me on those platforms. Feel free to talk to me on there. And Danny, the Ultrasonic Player, where can they find you?
Oh, well, you can find me, of course, on Twitter at, I can talk tonight. So you can find me on Twitter at Ultrasonic or 9 or Ultra SNCPLYR9. On Twitter, and of course on Instagram, Ultrasonic9, and of course on fanfiction.net under the pen name Ultrasonic. And speaking of our beloved site, I just got finished putting up two articles, one about Star Wars The Last Jedi, and of course the big one, which really, this one was something that I've been working on for a long time, my thoughts on the 1989 cult classic, The Wizard. So you can check those out.
Oh, you're wizard.
That's right.
Yeah, you're wizard.
Yep, complete with power gloves and 80s music.
Ooh, power glove. The yep. Power glove is so bad.
Yep, so bad, it's practically good.
That's right.
And so, you can check me out in any of those ways. And leave a comment, like, and there you go.
All right, guys. So on behalf of myself, Dan the Ultrasonic Player, and the Arcade Archives Network, keep playing like it's 1981, and we'll see you next time.
Until next time, Arcaders.
Hey, Arcaders, this is Ray Gunn from the Arcade Archives Network. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast that you're listening to. If you're listening on iTunes, please give it 5 stars. A lot of time and patience go into every podcast we do. 5-star ratings help us so we can continue giving you this quality entertainment every month. And don't forget to share us with your friends. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please give us a like and subscribe to our channel. And if you're over on our Facebook page, please like and share. Once again, we do this for you guys, and we enjoy doing it every single month, so every little bit helps. So please go online and like us today. Thanks. Keep playing like it's 1981, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye now.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.